desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. The Lord had began talking to me about this message while we were in Malawi the last couple of days. And it's a very simple message, and I don't want to do injustice to the simplicity of the message. Let me just put it that way. There are sometimes the Lord gives a message and wants to add some and wants to, and I told Renee, I said, you know, I'm wondering if I don't even want to write anything down at all because I just want to share from the heart the message that the Lord gave. You will turn with me over to the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter. We'll begin reading a very familiar passage of Scripture. We're going to read down through some of this passage in the 7th chapter this morning. Begin reading with the 13th verse. Now, before we start reading, I'd like us to take note of who we are reading from. We are reading the words of Christ. And it is important that when Jesus says something, that we take note of what he said. There are some people, and I know the children sometimes, they share what someone said, and already they're biased against or for it because of who said it. You know, they'll come home and say, well, so-and-so said such and such, and you can just hear the roll of the eye in their voice. I think we all know what we're talking about. Because of the confidence or lack thereof of the person that said it. And it means something. We can hear a lot of things in our world. You young people are being inundated with philosophies of life. You're being inundated with this person says this and that one says this, and I'm going to go a step further. This preacher said this, and this preacher said that, and this minister says it doesn't matter, and this one just says it does. And what are we going to believe? The world, the devil is vying hard for all of our souls this morning. And the world is promoting philosophies that are very contrary to what is right and what is true. And I want us to go beyond this morning what the church teaches. I want to go beyond and say, well, Brother Michael said this. I want what I teach and what I preach and what we as a body, as a church teach, to have a foundation that goes beyond opinion and beyond tradition. There is nothing wrong with good traditions, but I will say something, a tradition that lasts and is good forever is something that's based not just because someone did it 100 years ago, it's because the Word of God laid a foundation and that's what we're building upon. So when Jesus said something, we ought to take note of what he said. So these are the words of Christ now. He said, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. This is not talking about someone who has a fanatical spirit. This is not coming from someone that has a liberal spirit. This is coming from the one who is the Word of God incarnate. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us in the personhood of Jesus Christ. So Jesus, when he said something, he gave us the balance of what is true and what is right. And Christ was saying here, enter in at the straight gate. The straight gate is a narrow place. And do you know that's not popular in the world today? It's not popular, and I'm going to preach to home folks now. It's not popular among professing children of God. It's not popular because people are wanting to hold on to their profession of being saved, and they're wanting to still live however they want to live. Backsliding is out of style. Heard me say that before. Used to, when people did certain things, it was clear they're in a backslidden state. Today, I'm going to, Lord have mercy, you can go to Monarch And there can be a lot of people doing some things, and you can say, well, it must be okay. None of them are backslidden, though. They just don't see it like they used to see it. We need to recognize that the way to life this morning, the way to gain eternal life, is a narrow way. It means it's a close way. It is a way of self-denial. It is a way of saying no to, it's not just because, well, I want to do that, or I like that, or that fits my personality. If we're going to follow Jesus Christ and have life this morning, it's going to take it's a narrow way. And Jesus said, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. I'm not criticizing people that go to Monarch. Please understand me this morning. But the point I'm making is the devil is working hard against living holy lives in every area of life. Some that would say, well, holiness is of the heart, so I can do whatever I want on the outside. I say, that's not right. There are others that they're fixed up modestly on the outside and they've got a bad spirit. Those are both unacceptable to God. To live for the Lord acceptably is going to take a place of denial of myself, saying, Lord, I want to enter in at the way that you have given me to lead the life. And he said, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be in that go in thereat. When you see many people headed somewhere, you better be careful. Because what is popular in society, the social issues and the social norms today, more often than not, are contrary to the principles of holiness. The fads and the fashions that pass through because of the nature of our society, more often than not, they're going to be contrary to the principles of holiness. Holiness in every area of life, because God is a holy God, and we have the Son of God himself saying, oh, would you enter in at the straight gate? Beware of this path that leads to destruction, because that's where many are going. He went on to say then, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Beware of false prophets. You know, it's not just the person that stands behind the pulpit, but anybody that is perpetuating a philosophy or ideology or a way of life trying to influence you in your life, Jesus says, beware. Beware of false prophets. There are people that are trying to sway and influence the minds. You pick up almost so many books, you turn on the radio, the media is inundated with philosophies that are so contrary to the Word of God. And the danger is this, we can be here this morning and say, well, we would never accept that as right, we know that's wrong, but you know, it used to, adultery was something that even the unsaved people in the world looked down and said, oh, that's not right. Today, how does it affect people? We know what the Bible teaches this morning, but if we're not careful, we will be influenced by that mindset that, well, look at this situation, and this situation, to get our sympathies involved, so then we're not as diligent to follow through. And then what about when you go through a difficult time? Now all of a sudden you think there might be some other roads and avenues that are open. The same thing is happening today now, with the homosexual lifestyle. It is being propagated everywhere you turn around. The world is promoting and lifting up and exalting something that is contrary to the very nature of mankind as God created us. But what's happening is, even though it may still be a small percentage, they're trying to wear down our defenses, and if you have a standard against that lifestyle, love the sinner. But if you have a standard against that lifestyle, then all of a sudden, you're not being tolerant. And that's coming into professing Christian churches too. In the name of tolerance, in the name of love, in the name of acceptance of all people. Folks, the Word of God came to change us. It came to lift us up. We don't want to lower the Word of God to fit my preferences or what I'm interested in or my likes and dislikes. Rather, the Word of God is a way of life this morning. Jesus came to give us life. You young people and children, if you want life this morning, listen to what Jesus says. Listen to what the Bible teaches, and it goes beyond mom and dad then. It goes beyond my church. It gets down to this is the way that is the right way. And I will say this morning unequivocally and without apology that there is a right way this morning. And it is the way of holiness. It is the way of the Word of God. And so Jesus was encouraging us, enter in at the straight gate, but beware of who you listen to. Who are you being influenced by? Are you being influenced by anybody in your life? You know, we all are. And none of us are exempt from influence. And people that say, well, that doesn't affect me. I'm my own man. Deception. Deception because we are all influenced. Even a rock under a dripping faucet will get a hole in it after a number of years. My father told me that about marriage. Let me warn you young people. If there's things and you start looking around, you say, well, I know there's this thing, but it's not quite like it ought to be, but you know, I think I'm strong enough to handle it. You put a rock under a dripping faucet and after so many years, it's going to get a hole in it. Same thing applies to people that we choose to have close association with and friendships. I know Jesus was a friend to sinner, but Jesus was there to minister the gospel to them. And more often than not, when you find people that saying, well, they're just my friends, people generally tend to go the path of least resistance. So you young people and children, when mom and dad caution you about who you're hanging around and where you're spending your time, listen to them because all of us are influenceable. Jesus said, beware of false prophets which come to you. And you know that the thing where the enemy is working this morning is when he comes and says, they mean well. Now, how often do we hear that? They seem to have a good heart. I think they mean well. Do you know meaning well is not going to get us to heaven? Did you hear me? Meaning well is not going to get us to heaven. Who is doing well? Jesus said later in this passage, I believe, not everyone in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father. So young people, children, adults, all of us, be careful when you start hanging around good people who you say, well, they mean well, are they doing well? The places they're going, the attitudes they have, the things they're watching, the things they're listening to, their behaviors, and we say, well, I think they mean well. Folks, we need to be careful when someone just means well. If they do not well, beware. Because when they start talking to you about issues that affect your life, you will be influenced by them. So we have to be careful then about what kind of influence we're allowing ourselves to be placed under. So beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. In other words, they look good. But inside there's a destructive spirit. And he said, you shall know them by their fruits. In other words, one of the favorite scriptures of people that aren't doing right is judge not that ye be not judged. But Jesus was talking to the hypocrites when he said that. In other words, he said, you know, you're going to be judged the same way that you're judging other people. The saints will judge the world, the scripture says. Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. In other words, it's judgment not based on my preferences, but it's a judgment that was already given by the Word of God. If it's not pure, if it's not holy, if it's not clean, if it's not edifying, it's not my judgment. That's the judgment of the Word of God. And he said, by their fruits, you're going to know them. It goes beyond intentions, and it goes beyond us assessing what we think someone's spirit is. He said, by their fruits, you'll know them. By the evidence of their life, by what's being born in their life, he said, you're going to know them. And I want to challenge us and encourage us this morning to recognize the fruit of the people around us. I'm very disappointed sometimes in people who are listening and accepting things from people whose fruit is clearly from sin, and they're going to believe that garbage, and it's like their fruit is right there, and you're going to believe that and swallow that. Young people, be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you believe. Believe those that are living and bringing forth fruits of righteousness. He went on to say, then you shall know them by your fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And I know there's so much in that, but for sake of time, we're going to move on. He said, wherefore by their fruits, in verse 20, you shall know them. Do you know that the scripture says even a child is known by his doings? I will say for us this morning, this same scripture applies, by their fruits ye shall know them. I think it would be well to say as well, by my fruits I can know myself. Have you ever considered that? Say, well, I'm trying to live right, and I mean to serve the Lord, and but the question is, am I? Because there is grace this morning. That's the beauty of the gospel message. That there is grace to enable us to rise above ourselves. There is grace to enable us. It's not our doing. But when we humble ourselves and say, Lord, I have a problem and I'm lacking here. There is grace and power through the blood of Jesus and through the Holy Spirit to enable us to live a holy life. And so then we need to examine our own fruits. And you know, some people don't like to look at themselves in the mirror. They would rather look at everybody else. But by our fruits, we can know ourselves. And it goes beyond, it's kind of a little, Renee and I, for years, there was someone that I think it kind of originated from that we say, well, I think they mean well. And when Renee and I say to each other, well, I think they mean well, what we know is they're not doing well. They might mean well, but they're not doing well. Do you know the Lord has higher expectations from us than that this morning? Well, I mean, well, no, by my fruits I can know myself. Lord, where do I stand with you? How does the Lord see us this morning? We say, well, if the Lord would just answer my questions, what about the things you know God has talked to you about? How doest thou this morning? What kind of fruit? You say, well, where have you been spending your time? You know that's fruit. Where have you been spending your time? What have you been listening to? Where have you been going? How have you been acting? What kind of attitudes have you been having about situations and people and problems? And have you been spending time with God? By your fruit, you can know yourself. You don't need a preacher to tell you where you are. And we can say, Lord, try me and know my thoughts. And yes, the Lord will do that. But I want to say, when we stand before God, it's not going to be any mystery where we stand. We're not going to say, oh, Lord, I wish you would have revealed that to me. I'm going to lose my soul. Lord, why didn't you tell me? No, most of us know our fruits this morning. It's not a question. It's not a mystery. We know how we're living our lives. So let's listen to the words of Christ. And while we have time and opportunity, let's embrace life this morning. Embrace the things that we know are good for us spiritually. And then he went on to say, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth. The one that is actively doing the will of God. Folks, these people that do that, those are God's people. It's not enough to say they are in a certain congregation or in a certain family or in a certain geographical place. It is those that are doing the will of the Father. And this is where the Lord's blessings rest. Oh, I want life this morning. I want to plug my ears like in Pilgrim's Progress. I want to just plug your ears to all the other voices in the world and run crying out, life, life, eternal life. Young people, embrace life this morning. Embrace it. Don't be afraid of it. You say, well, I kind of like that, or I want to do that, or everybody's doing that. You know where everybody's going to end up? And the Lord's saying, embrace life. Enter in at the straight gate. And I can personally testify to you all this morning, the straight gate is a life of blessing. It's a place of peace even during the time of trouble. There's a consolation that's there. There's a hope, and there's a peace that passeth all understanding. There's a peace that doesn't make sense. That's what he's meaning. It doesn't even make sense. How can you be at peace when they're doing that, or this has happened because of my Savior? It goes beyond ourselves. Oh, it's worth embracing life this morning. I want to, again, I'm not picking on you children, young people, but I have a burden for you. I want to encourage you to listen to the words of Christ and embrace life. He went on to say, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many mighty works? In other words, folks, he is not talking about the fruit of something outwardly, of casting out devils and doing many mighty works. He's talking about doing what he said to do. He said here, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Do you hear the sayings of the Lord this morning? Do you hear the Lord saying, come on, enter in at the straight gate? He said, whosoever heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon what? Upon a rock. Foundation. What are we building our life on this morning? What is the philosophy that we're building our lives around? Why we do what we do? Why we go where we go? Why we dress like we dress? Why we act like we act? What is our philosophy? The Muslims have a philosophy of life. There's a reason why. There's a philosophy and an ideology that shapes when they have a decision to make. They can say, okay, what does the Quran say? Or what does the, what's their teacher, the caliph, however you pronounce it. What does he have to say? And they follow that. That shapes their decisions. The question for us this morning is, what is shaping your decisions in life? When you have choices to make from the smallest things in your life, what foundation are you using to shape what your response is and the decisions you make? Jesus said, if you do what I tell you to do, he said, I'm going to liken that person to a wise man that's building his house on a rock or a foundation, something that's going to last. And he said, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You will find that people that build their life on a foundation of Christ are going to be able to stand the trials and the battles and the griefs of this life, and it's going to get them through to eternal life. So when someone comes along and says, why do you do that? And you say, well, my parents won't let me do that. Or, well, my parents say I have to. Or, well, my church teaches against it. Folks, that only goes so far. I'll say that's not good enough for me this morning. You know, I remember saying that before when I was a little boy, that it didn't go very far. It's not going to get me all the way. I need to build my life on a foundation. Why do you do what you do? Because of Christ. Because of His Word. Every area of life. All of these debate, hot button issues, you know, a lot of them, it seems like, always rest with the outward appearance. These things that, well, can you, or things that you do or not do. Do you know that most of those things would be resolved if we would just say, Lord, I'm going to shape my decision on the foundation of Christ. Purity, godliness, holiness, modesty, love. That's what I'm going to use as the foundation for this decision. And now where's the debate? Well, but everybody else, I kind of want to look like the world. What foundation are you using to shape your decisions? Lord, I want to be like Christ. And Jesus saying, listen to me and enter in at the straight gate. And he said, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Appreciated the Sunday school this morning. It laid a good foundation for this foundation this morning. Listen to what Jesus says. Be teachable. Let's recognize in our own life that, yes, you know, I'm kind of making that decision out of a selfish motivation, or I'm making that because, yeah, I kind of want to fit into the world, or, yeah, I'm making that decision because I kind of like that. Folks, we're going to have to draw some lines in our lives and say no to some things that in the flesh we kind of like. Just because we're saved doesn't mean that all desire for some things in the flesh are removed. That's called temptation, when the flesh still desires it, but we know that the Lord's not real pleased with it. So what are we going to build our life on? I want to encourage us this week, if you will, in the choices, decisions we make, let's ask ourselves, what is the foundation of my decision? What am I using as a foundation for saying I'm going to do this, act like that, not do this? In every area of life, let's come back to foundations this morning. I want us to remember that when the storms of life come, if we build our foundation, if we build our house and our life on the things of this world, there is going to come a day when your house is going to fall down. It's going to fall down. It will not stand the test of time. I want to choose life this morning, and the only way is to build my life on a strong foundation. There's so much more in that simple message, but I wanted to encourage us, build your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We may pick this up a little more another time, but the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. It'll last us, but we're going to have to be honest with ourselves and say, what's influencing me? What's directing my decisions? Lord, I want my fruit to be like Christ. And I want to build my life on what Jesus wants. Because folks, it's not, yes, it's a life of self-denial, but the song says, tell me not of heavy crosses, nor of burdens hard to bear, for I found this great salvation makes each burden light appear. That whole song, some of those words in there, folks, serving God is the best way to live. And I will say, even aside from eternity, you know, there's no aside to eternity, but even if we were to lay it aside, where are you going to find the greatest, the strongest family, the strongest relationships, the best life? You know, it's in serving the Lord. It's in the good things because the Lord knows what's best for us. So if you're thinking being drawn to the world, just remember where it leads and remember the Creator of the universe has laid down a plan that is going to give us the best life possible. And yes, there's still heartache in this life, but at the end, there's going to be eternal life. So let's build our lives on a foundation of Jesus Christ and listen and do the words of Jesus Christ. Amen.